And this is kind of a foundational piece that you need to understand. By the time you know it's a problem for you, you've already paid for more than 10,000 data points per person.
They know more about you than your spouse does.
Yes.
Yeah, than you know about you.
If you always pay a fraction of what that traffic is worth, then you're always going to make a profit.
Welcome back to this PPC masterclass on how to dominate with PPC in a wholesale real estate business. And in this video, Brandon and Rob, we're going to kind of nerd out a little bit. We're going to talk about the mechanics of PPC, pull back the curtain a little bit so that you can see really how Google works. And, you know, kind of a little bit of the worry we had putting this video together, this topic together was, well, people really don't care. They just want leads. What does it matter? But Brandon brings up a really good point. It does matter. And you really do need to have the foundation of how Google works in order to really grasp this whole strategy around PPC. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. So we're making this video at the risk of boring people for their own good. So
good.
It's a calculated decision. So if this looks boring, then I promise, because we're going to have a few videos after this diving a little bit deeper into some specific strategies. And if you don't understand the foundational elements, then you won't understand how to implement those strategies or how they work. But at its core, just to jump right into it, Google is a place where people are searching to find information that's relevant and authoritative for them, right? So if you ever looked at this, just, and I'm starting from a very basic level in case someone doesn't know, you're going to search on Google and then there's going to be some ads that show up at the top. Some people have even told me, like, I don't have ads on my Google. If you think that's you, then really what they've done, they used to like highlight them all yellow and then they stopped doing that. They just made it so hard to see them or notice that they're ads and they're different from like the actual organic thing. But this is what we're talking about when we're talking about PPC. Google way back in the day used to like sell ad space on different keywords. And then they realized if they had people bidding on a per click basis, they would sell way more inventory. So
because makes sense,
because right? It's valuable, right? Yeah. So that's kind of how it works. So picture it like this. Every time someone types a search into Google, there's a signal that goes out to all these different Google Ads accounts that basically says this person is searching for this thing. And it invites all the Google Ads accounts in the world to then put a bid on. So there's like in like a millisecond, every time that someone searches on Google, there's this whole auction
Google
happening.
Google Ads auction. Infamous Google Ads auction.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's this whole auction happening.
Now it's predetermined, right? The pricing's preset.
What do you mean by that?
Well, isn't it like you agree to pay $7 or whatever it is per this keyword?
Kind of. Yeah. So that's, it's basically asking all of the accounts to put in their bids. How you program your account to put in the bid in that circumstance, that's the magic of making PPC work, right? So that's why this is an important foundational thing, right? So this happens, then all these accounts put in these bids. And then there's a few other factors, like, you know, how high quality Google thinks you are with your advertising and stuff like that. But essentially whoever has the highest score based on those things, bid being an important factor, and then a few other things.
Page experience, load time.
Yeah.
Relevancy.
Yeah. And all that's, all that. We could talk forever about it.
Great video from, his name is Hal something. He's the chief economist for Google. He has a great, great video on YouTube. Just search like Hal plus Google Ads auction algorithm. There's a video on this. Maybe we'll link to it down below, or I'll drop in the comments on this, of exactly everything that goes into the Google Ads auction. Because it's not just price, it's also how good is your page, what is the load time,
how long have you been in
business, all these different factors. But if like if you understand that, that's killer. That's why we really focus on load time on our pages, because we found if we could have the page load faster, we were finding that we could actually bid a third of what our competitors were bidding, but still take the number one spot.
Because think about it, Google wants something relevant, something they want a good experience for the user.
Yeah, and that actually gets you twice, right? Because on one hand, you were having people click that then the page never loaded for them and you wasted those clicks. And then also the algorithm now likes you more. So it's going to basically decrease your ad rates. I'd be really curious to see that video you're talking about. It's something called quality score that those things come together to make. And it's an important part of the auction. The standard thing that people think about is like your bid multiplied by your quality score equals your ad rank. Okay. And then the ad rank is what the auction is based on.
Go through that one more time.
Bid multiplied by quality score equals ad rank.
Equals ad rank. Okay.
So basically, you could be a really crappy advertiser.
Where you are on the list.
Yes. Okay. You could be a really bad advertiser.
but willing to pay the most.
Yes. Because Google has two goals when someone searches. Number one, make as much money as possible. Mm-hmm. Number two, make sure that we're providing an experience that makes it so the next time people have a problem, they go to Google to search for that too.
Yeah.
Because if you're used to like clicking on ads and then you get a page that's not even about what you thought it was about based on the ad, and it's not actually the solution you're looking for, you start to lose trust in those ads.
Yeah.
Relevancy goes down.
Yeah. We tapped into this 5 or 6 years ago and just dominated with it. We were like, whoa, the bid doesn't matter. Yeah. Well, it does matter, but quality, like, because everyone had such garbage pages. Because this is a mom and pop industry where everyone was using WordPress and stuff.
Yeah.
And we came in with fast mobile responsive pages that would were tailored for specific keywords and just wipe the floor on Google Ads.
It makes a big difference. And so the way I like to think about this often is like you want to push your quality as high as you can.
Yeah.
Within that context, then bid matters.
Yes.
Right. Because once you've like controlled that variable, right? So it's not like I look at it and I'm like, oh, I need to be showing up more often than the auctions. I'm going to now raise my quality. It's like, you're always trying to raise your quality, right? Yeah. So just, you always push that lever as far as you could possibly push it. And then the bid is what you can change.
Yeah.
Right. So that considered, that's the basics of how these auctions work. I like to think of that process. So here's the thing. It's auction based. You have to say what you're willing to pay. So if you were theoretically really good at only bidding the right amount all the time, then you could never lose money on Google Ads, mm-hmm. right? Because everything has an expected value, right? It's insane how deep this gets, because you can program your account to bid based on literally thousands of factors. It's like, what exactly did they search into Google? And then it's all this other data attached to their account. Like, what other web pages have they visited? Do you know that Google's like tracking devices are on over 90% of websites on the internet? Mm-hmm. So they know what websites you visited, and they know what stuff you've read and when you did that. And they know other searches you made in the past. And they know that they have data from credit card companies showing what kind of purchases you make. And they know your geolocation. So they know you tend to go to Starbucks a lot, right? They know all these things.
About they know everything. Yeah. There's no privacy.
More than 10,000 data points per person.
They know more about you than your spouse does.
Yes.
Yeah, than you know about you.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. So the old mindset is like, oh, are they in pre-foreclosure or is this probate or whatever? The new mindset is, what about all that online data? Could that be more predictive than those other things to tell us, is this person going to be the motivated seller? And if I can basically underwrite that traffic, it's pay-per-click, right? I'm putting in auction per click. If I can underwrite it and basically say that click is, I'm willing to pay $10 because I think I'll make $50, or I'm willing to pay $100 because I think I'll make $500.
Could it be things like how old they are, how long they've owned a house? Is it that type of data, or even more like, no, more like, hey, they all tend to shop here.
I can give an example of this. So Google won't reveal that to you, but they have it. But there are other companies that also have similar tracking that will actually sell you that data. You can actually go to them and you can ask for like a customer data file augmentation. So there's some really big companies in the space. Axiom is probably the biggest.
Yeah.
They sell all the data. They provide Facebook with their data. But another really big one, of course, is Oracle. They have this product called Blue Kai. I think it was called Blue Kai. So I remember we ran our file through Blue Kai one time. And we were looking at website visits, and you know what the number one biggest predictor that they would sell their house to us, which website it was? U-Haul.com. Hmm. U-Haul to go look at what the cost would be to rent a U-Haul truck. That shows super high intent. We found that, I don't know, like 20 or 30% of the houses we ended up purchasing, some crazy high number, had visited uhaul.com in the previous 30 or so days.
So it's behavioral analytics.
It's behavioral analytics. And then how you use those is through predictive analytics, because basically someone's past behavior is more predictive of their future behavior than anything else. People focus on like demographics, psychographics, et cetera. Yeah. But behavior is more predictive of behavior than demographics are.
Yeah. The best predictor of future behavior is past behavior.
We found this at Investorlet, the exact same thing. Last year, we introduced buy boxes where we went to the buyers and we said, we want you to put in the locations of where you want to get deals and the specific criteria you want, like ARV percentage, price points, bedrooms, bathrooms. And then we would only send them deals that met that criteria. Mm-hmm. But then when we looked at what they actually ended up buying, most of what they bought never actually met their buy box. It was kind of like, you know, like everyone wishes that they had six-pack abs, but most people don't have six-pack abs.
Yeah.
The buy box is what them in their heads ideally were like, oh, this is the type of deals I buy. But they go outside and they make exceptions all the time. So we're like, how can we do this better? Like, the buy box doesn't work. Everyone's like, oh, buy box doesn't work. Then what we started doing, we started training an AI that would look at all their behavior, what they clicked on. How much time did they spend on a page? How many images did they click through?
Way more valuable.
And that was a way stronger predictor of what people would actually bid on investors. And actually, we have a whole AI now that's launching just based on the behavior data that will show you who are the best buyers for a deal, not based on buy box, not based on what they've actually programmed in on their profile, but actually just based on what they've been shopping for. Yeah.
The good thing about that is you have that data for everybody, not just everybody. For the select few that have responded to you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly the point, right? So behavioral data is really powerful. So if someone's searching on Google, we know all this data about them, but we can't see all that. Google doesn't show you all this information. You can maybe buy it from some other companies, but you don't necessarily need to, because you can still bid based on that data without seeing that data. That's called predictive analytics. If you look at like different types of predictive algorithms, there's like statistics, right? It's called inferential analytics, where you're just, the goal is to understand how does the model work. Predictive, the goal is to predict, but you don't care how you got there, right? So it's just a different kind of analytics. And it's really, really powerful. These are machine learning algorithms. If you look at things like that are popular today, like ChatGPT, for example, people are super excited about AI because of ChatGPT, but all ChatGPT proved is that computers can actually be pretty good with language models. Yeah. Computers have been better than us with numbers for a really long time. AI has been a huge part of digital marketing for a really long time. Because no human's going to look at 1,000 factors and take them all into account when they're making a decision. But a computer can do that. They have the computational power. So that's where what it really comes down to is underwriting the value of that traffic so that you can pay the right price. If you always pay a fraction of what that traffic is worth, then you're always going to make a profit with enough volume, right? You still need the law of large numbers, because you're looking at that click and you're saying, well, there's a 20% chance that the click would convert into a lead on my landing page. And then once it does, there's going to be a 10% chance that they turn into a deal. And if they do, then there's going to be this 30% chance that it falls out. And then this 70% chance that it's worth $25,000 or something, right? That's an example of how you're underwriting traffic based on all these different variables. If you can nail that, then you can nail everything. People say like the important thing about PPC is knowing like your keywords, for example. Not really. I could have a billion keywords in my account. Doesn't matter. If I was bidding properly for them, then it'd be fine, because someone could be looking for a divorce lawyer in Miami and there's a chance they might need to sell their house. It's a very, very small chance. But if I was bidding right on that, I'd bid a penny on it or whatever the case is. Probably wouldn't even get the click. But if I did, then it would be worth it, right? So you're underwriting for the right thing.
Less about the keyword, more about underwriting it to pay the right price for it.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, this keyword I know converts at. Like, keywords are going to have different levels of intent. Sell my inherited home fast for cash, super high intent. Or no, sell a house facing foreclosure, very high intent, versus how to sell a house quick, a little bit lower, sell house even lower. So I can pay a lot more. Like, there was times where I was running one campaign one time where I'd pay $1,000 per phone call. $1,000 per, no one had the guts to do that. I knew I could do it because I knew what the return on ad spend would be preemptively. And what we did is we had a calculator, and we would know what the conversion rate was for this keyword, and, conversion from click to lead and the conversion from lead to deal and what the value of those deals were worth. And then we would preemptively calculate what our target maximum bid should be before ever even launching the campaign. It'd be like, here's the expected value of what a click is. Here's the max we can bid for it. Anything below that, we're making money.
Yeah. And if you have the data, you can do that kind of stuff. I think a good thing to compare it to is wholesaling real estate. Let's just say, and I'll illustrate like some of how people are doing things wrong, right? So people approach PPC as if they were wholesaling real estate and they're going into a market And they're just like, I want the highest value houses possible because that's how I'm going. Like, you make money when you sell it for to a buyer for a lot of money, yeah. right? So I'm just looking for all the highest value houses, right? So then it's like, I'm just coming into a market and just bidding $1 million on every big house I can find, right? The other way that people would approach it is they'd say, I'm just looking for cheap houses because if I can buy them cheap, then I know I can sell them yeah. for more. So they're just looking for the absolute cheapest houses they can find. Turns out neither of those are a good model for wholesaling real estate. Yeah. What you need to do is buy at a discount.
Yeah.
What that means is that
whatever
you understand.
Whatever the discount is.
Whatever the discount
yeah.
is.
Yes. You need to know for each house, what is it worth and what do you need to buy it at? And that's how you have your spread. It's the same thing with PPC. So just like how when I'm looking at a house, I'm looking at what zip code is it in and how many square feet is it and how many bedrooms and bathrooms does it have and what's the condition? And all those are predictive of the value. When someone's searching on Google, what exactly they typed into Google and all these other data points come together to tell me what is the likely value of that click. And then my job is to pay a fraction of that. But if I'm not doing that on a granular level, then it won't be powerful because I could, you know, I could just say, well, it's like saying, well, all houses in this zip code are worth the same amount of money.
Yeah. yeah.
That's not how it's going to work. That's not how it works.
Is $200,000 a deal? Well, if it's worth $100,000, no. If it's worth $400,000, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So the auction is going to ask your account, what are you willing to pay for this? The quality of your answer to that question and how well you're underwriting that click is if you lose money or not.
That dictates whether you'll be successful.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's really understanding how to underwrite. And when we say that, it's a key word, right? So isn't that right? The key word is the house?
It's kind
of. In that analogy?
The house is every individual situation is different, just like every house is different. Because it's not just what did they search on Google, but what did they search yesterday? And how does that affect things? And then the other thing is, that keywords are where someone goes wrong in Google a lot of the time, because I'll give you an example. Google has something that they released recently that's called close variance.
Close variance,
which is really rough in some circumstances. Cause I could, I could have my keyword is we buy houses. There's a difference between a keyword and a search term within Google. A search term, as an advertiser, I don't own a search term. As a searcher, you do because it's what you typed into Google. It could be anything. So the problem that Google deals with is that 15% of Google searches each day are completely unique. They've never been searched in the entire history of Google before. That's
over
500 million searches. And in fact,
like from copy and paste from somebody's something to.
At one time, I did an analysis for our clients, and I found that over 80% of the leads we got were from things that had only been searched in the history of our account a single time. So it's not like you,
because it's a long tail distribution,
extremely long tail,
on a long tail,
like a paragraph.
Right? Yes. Most of the volume is on the tail.
It absolutely is, and people are misspelling things and changing words around. You'd be surprised how many ways there are. Like a lot of people think it's just like what are the 10 keywords?
It's like a chess game. Yeah. After the first few moves, like the number of possible combinations is like goes infinite real quick.
And that's where the science gets interesting because you're predicting. Like a lot of people think it's like, oh, I was buying from that keyword and what happens? But now you're predicting something based on something that's never happened before. Yeah. This person just searched this thing on Google.
You're trying to value traffic on something that has never been.
So what's Google trying to do?
So we're trying to use like buckets, the analytics there to still predict.
Yeah.
But this is why you can't use keywords. Exactly. And that's why keywords and search terms are different things. So Google's trying to sell all that inventory that doesn't exactly fit the mold of like sell my inherited house fast.
That's why they've been pushing broad match like crazy. But most people have really struggled to make broad match work in our industry.
Broad match.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. So
we'll get into that. So I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah. That's in the difference between keywords and search terms. So you tell them the keyword and now basically you tell them like, how closely does it need to match this keyword? So example, exact match. You're telling Google, I want it to match like exactly what I'm saying. We buy houses. They have to type in we buy houses.
Nothing else. Just that.
Yeah. That's now there's technically close variance. So Google's broadening the definitions of everything.
We buy houses quickly.
Yeah, not my still match, right? And then we have phrase match where we're saying it has to have this phrase in it, right? So maybe we buy houses, but then if someone searches we buy houses in Tampa, then, you know, we're still there. And then there's broad match, which is just like apples. And then Google's like, you know, it's an orange. That's also a fruit. We're just going to throw that in there, right? So the problem is these days, even with an exact match keyword of we buy houses, Google might have a search term of buy houses. And Google's looking at it like, it's just missing one
word. How to buy houses training course by Jerry Norton.
Well, it could be a realtor versus a wholesaler, like huge difference.
Or buyer versus seller.
Yeah.
Another huge difference. Yeah. Google doesn't understand though, right? It's like, it's one word different. They're like, it's close enough. So that's where like, you can have the right keywords, but you could have the wrong search terms. So you could be trying to target apples and then you're getting oranges instead.
And the biggest thing that I'm kind of gathering from this, Brandon, is like, for one, self-managing your own account as a newbie might not be a good strategy.
It is not the best strategy.
No, it is hard.
It's insanity.
Because there's a lot of nuance here to all of this. And you mean you've been doing this a long time and there's a lot of, lots of things that go into play here, not just one thing. It's not just the long tail keyword. There's all these other things that play a factor. So I think that's a big thing. I see a lot of people struggle a lot and they're trying to self-manage their own accounts and they just don't know enough about all the nuance.
You can waste a lot of money really quickly. This is why, I don't think we even mentioned this up to this point, Bateman Collective, my company, that's literally what we do, is like we're a done-for-you management company. But there's little advantages we have. Like, for example, if we've ever seen, we manage about 170 PPC accounts spending $1.1, $1.2 million a month on PPC right now. If we've ever seen, and we've been doing this for 6 years, if we've ever seen even once one of our clients buy traffic that wasn't the right search term, which happens all the time, then we add that to the list. And now we exclude it from all of our future clients. But the problem with like adding negative keywords and trying to control this stuff is that you've already, by the time you know it's a problem for you, you've already paid for it.
You already spent
what you're preventing is paying for it 10 times. You've already paid for it once, right? But if you could prevent even having to pay for it once to add it to your negative list, then you're saving money.
So that's a huge advantage of working with a PPC manager is like you've already, like how many negatives do you have on your negative list?
Probably a ton, but we also utilize like phrase match negatives phrase like match you're talking about. And that's,
you know, you got so some big ones that do a lot of heavy lifting, but then some specifics, but like, you don't, like I always tell people that the number one fastest way to supercharge a new Google Ads account is get a really good negative keywords list. Cause it's literally like, I don't know if you guys ever watched Fast and Furious, but it's like NOS. It's like the NOS button. You know, it's just like when you come in, you're like, you're moving slow. But if you get a good negative keywords list loaded in right away, it's just going to prevent you from wasting.
And the negative keyword lists are the words you don't want to see.
Don't want.
Well, because the value for them for you is basically zero, right? So if you think about it, we've got like this whole spectrum here where like here, these things have no value. And then these have a little value. And then these things have a ton of value all the way over here. What you want is to exclude these. You don't even want to pay anything for these because they're not worth anything to you. And then these, you want to pay the right price for. These, you want to pay the right price for, et cetera, right? So that's kind of the magic of like getting the right search terms and bidding the right amount. The first step is don't buy traffic. Like if you want seller leads, don't buy buyer traffic, for example. Really simple, right? There's no like amount of value there that's going to work for you. So you get rid of that stuff. That's how you do it with like negative keywords, but it's this constantly evolving game. So you have to be really on top of it. And then within that context of assuming you're getting just the right things, then what do you have to do? You have to pay the right price for them. You always want to be buying them at a discount. And that's where the magic of bidding and predictive value comes in. And that's basically so much of PPC comes down to if you did nothing but bid right, then you could have a successful account.
And why is that challenging for someone inexperienced in Google Ads?
You just don't have the data. It's a data game.
You don't know what you should be paying. You don't know if it's a discount.
You know, with the conversion rate, like remember I was talking about how we had our return ad spend calculator, we would know that on this keyword with this modifier, we would for this many clicks, we would get this many leads. For this many leads, we get this many deals. And here was how much we would make per deal. So we could then run the math to figure out what the expected value of that traffic is, because we'd had hundreds of thousands of dollars of spend. We had the data to do it. If you don't have the data, you can't calculate the expected value.
So then what you're doing is you end up overpaying what you should be paying.
Yeah.
And that
and the ratios are the big problem where it's like, that's how you create inefficiency. Like maybe you're overpaying, yes, but like the main, like what we do, like the way we bid to simplify it is we always bid the least that we possibly can while still getting the volume that we want. So with our bids, we're constantly like walking them down. Like how low can we push this? Oh, now we're not actually winning enough auctions to spend our budget. Mm-hmm. Bump it up a little bit. And then like, how low can we push this? We're constantly watching the competition, just trying to push those down a little bit more. But what the bidding is it's about how much am I paying for this versus this? Maybe I know that this thing's worth twice as much as this. Do I know the exact dollar amount it's worth? Maybe somewhat, it's changing a little bit, but regardless of that, I just want to bid as low as I can. But I always know that for this, I'm paying twice as much as I am for this because I know that it's more valuable. And those ratios are
in relation to volume, right? So like, if you want 1,000 leads, you're going to be having to stay up here because as soon as you pay less, it's only going to give you 100.
you start with your highest expected value, and then you just keep on lowering it, lowering it, lowering it until you start not hitting the volume that you want.
That's the game. Yep.
And that's the game. And that's why that I'm so glad you explained this, because we've done a lot of times where, you know, we're spending X and then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, we're doing great. Let's double our spend. Well, what happens is our efficiency falls off the cliff because we just opened up to buy broader, right? Isn't that what's happening is I'm just
paying more for other stuff, or maybe your ad manager is saying we can't. Even if we paid more for our current stuff, there's not more to get. So then they're having to go a little bit broader in terms of the target.
Now you're getting not as good.
And that's why we have diminishing returns. If you think about it like an auction, it makes a lot of sense. You're basically just like, if you want to win more auctions, you're going to have to pay more money. Or like we talked about before, quality score matters and stuff like that. But like, again, that levers all the way down all the time if you're a good ad manager, right?
Yep.
So that's where bids are what you actually play with to improve things the most.
And that's why you kind of like the stair step up your spend. Right, like you incrementally raise your spend, not let's just double it overnight. You want to slowly move your spend up.
And that specifically is because the algorithm gets thrown off by like really fast changes in ad spend. Yeah, so that's like if you summarize it, that's kind of what's going on here, right? So someone searches on Google and now you have to figure out what value that is. If you underwrite that right, that's part of the magic of PPC. And it's also knowing that I can pay more for this than that. And then also understanding there's other people searching and I'm looking for the deepest discount and I'm always trying to bid as low as I can. Yeah. So that's kind of that's a lot of the magic of the process. And it explains, like for example, in our next video, we're going to talk about like strategy for locations or budgets and stuff like that. And this is kind of a foundational piece that you need to understand because a lot of that other strategy is built on this understanding. And you don't want to be the guy that just like goes in and just wants like, some people are just like, I just want like the best keywords and I don't care what the leads cost. I'm just going to buy everything. Right. But then you're not focusing on buying at a discount. Right. Yeah. Or you don't just want to like look for the cheapest traffic. Agencies do this all the time. So they can show their client, look, we got 1,000 clicks. Yeah. We're doing a good job, but it's not going to translate well into revenue. You have to be really good at understanding what is every click worth and then paying the right price for it. Yeah, if you can nail that, you never lose money.
Man, that's the secret right there. Man, I'm really glad we did this. We almost skipped this topic, but I'm so glad we did because
it's huge.
Yeah, you got to understand how PPC works to really do it well. And that was a really good foundation.
If I had watched this video before I was running ads, I spent like, I've had teams where I'm spending $400,000 a month and we always did highest expected value. If I knew that one trick for this one video, that could have literally saved me hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just one tip.
Yeah.
From this
guys,
video.
This is why Brandon's the best in the game. By the way, we're going to put some information below in the description. There's a toolkit that Brandon put together. It's got some amazing resources, totally free. Check that out. And also more how you can use Brandon's service, his ad agency, if you're ready to now make that step in the PPC and some other things, some training and things. We'll put that down there as well. And guys, we'll see you
on the next video.